You may be seated. Good morning.
I pray everybody is doing well and you didn't get too wet or too much wind damage along the way. That wind was blowing last night, wasn't it? Sounded like a train coming by the house. I can think, we don't have no train tracks around here. You see those trees just blowing back and forth. But as we always say, God is good.
All the time.
God really, really is good. If you're here today and you're visiting with us for the first time or it's been a while since you've had that opportunity, please take a moment, if you would, to fill out one of those guest registrations that you see located in the bulletin. There is a little perforation on that, and it'll break right down the middle, and you can fill that out and drop that in the offering plate as it comes around. That gives us a record of your attendance, and it also gives us an opportunity to share a little bit more with you about us at Central Baptist Church, and we're glad that you have chosen to worship with us today in spirit and in truth, and we look forward to what it is that God has in store for us. If you have your Bible this morning, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the book of John, chapter 13. John chapter 13. And in just a moment, I want to show you a few things along the way before we get to this verse. There are some things that when we begin to think about different places, different locations, and different areas that we go, that we eventually have to visit in life. It's not those things that turn out to be optional. There are just, you know, certain places. And like I say, I'm not talking about Disney World. Why would I say Disney World? Disney World has this mantra to be the what? Thank you, Mike. You're awake. Good job. You've had your coffee. The happiest place on earth. So, you know, those are places that you really, really like to go. So, yeah, I'm not necessarily talking about places like that, but I'm talking about things like school. You know, we all had to go to school. Now, some of y'all really like school. Some of you were like me that you couldn't wait to the day that you got out. But nonetheless, you know, there are places that we wind up having to go. So let's think about that for a few minutes. What I want to do, just a few minutes, I'm going to have Jim put some images up. And I want you to respond to me with the first word that comes to your mind when you think about this. Okay? So is everybody ready? You know what we're doing here. A little interaction this morning. The first word that comes to your mind when you see this, and we're talking about, you know, different places that we go, I want you to just give me the first word that you're thinking about. Jim, give me number one. Number one not going to work. All right. While Jim's working on number one, there we go. Long stress. Now, if you can't read that, that says Department of Motor Vehicles. And all God's people said, if you've had to renew your license here lately, you've understood what this is like, right? Yeah, and all the documentation that you have to have, and even if you're trying to make an appointment, generally it's so far out, it's months out, and the reason why is because of the new real driver's license, okay? This does not conjure up really good thoughts for you, does it? Okay? No, I didn't think so. All right? Once again, just, you know, what comes to your mind when you see this one, the second one. By the way, for those that may be listening to this that don't have the visual aid, that first photo was a long line at the DMV, and this second one looks really, really familiar to most of us as well. This is a doctor's office, and what word comes to your mind as you see this? Impatience, anger. There's a lot of things that come to mind when people think about this. You know, you go in there and most of the time you're sitting there going, I'm going to wind up being sick. You know, I don't have the flu, but 50,000 people in here do. Rah, rah, rah. Not necessarily high on your list of places that you want to go, is it? All right. What about the next one? Anybody, that look familiar to anybody? Yeah, let me give you an example. This is probably Walmart with 5,000 people there and the only two cashiers they have working, right? Yeah, and you're sitting there and you're like, oh man, so even when you begin to think about going to these places, they don't conjure up really good thoughts, do they? Yeah, you're sitting there going, oh, yeah. Now, granted, some of you, depending on what you're making comparisons to, you might be sitting back going, I'd rather do this than be at the DMV. Yeah, obviously,
there's going to be some subjectivity along the way with this. Now, I've got two more for you, but I want to give you just the next one. What's this next one? Now, this is just a really nice restaurant. Now, when you begin to think about it, this could conjure up different thoughts. Some of you all could be sitting back thinking, well, yeah, last time I went to a place like that, the food was so overpriced, and we didn't get that much. It wasn't a really good experience at all. The service was terrible. Then on the other hand, some of you may have gone there and said, oh, that was one of the nicest dining experiences that I ever had. You know, the service was great, the food was great. But I want you to keep those thoughts in mind as we begin to think about the reviews that we just gave these things. You know, when you look at it, they were not the most ravenous reviews, were they? You know, some were worse than others, but in all of them, these are places that you have to go, and places that you go simply because you have to go. Not necessarily because you want to go. They're not necessarily your favorite place. You know, when we thought about those pictures, nobody really said, you know, when they saw the picture of the DMV, you didn't sit back and say, oh, I love it. Did anybody say that? Good, because if you did, I was going to set some counseling up for you because something is wrong with you. Nobody wants to sit back and stand in line. Nobody looked at those and said, oh, goody, goody, I get to do that. Yeah, like I say, you might be making some comparisons to some other things, and you might say, I would rather go to the DMV than this, that, or the other thing, but it's just not necessarily the biggest place that you would like to go. Now, I want to show you one more picture, but I don't want you to answer. I don't want you to answer out loud. Okay? I don't want you to sit back and tell me what comes to your mind when you see this, but I want you to think about it, and I want you to keep this on your mind for these next few moments that we'll have in this morning's message. Go ahead, Jim. What does that conjure up in your thoughts? Now, remember what we said before. Now, if you can't see that or if you're not looking, this is a photograph of the front of our church. That's Central Baptist Church. You know, when that picture came up, the inside, did you go, ugh? Did you sit back and go, ugh? Or did you sit back and go, hey, that's my church. I love that. Yeah, let me ask you this. When that came up, did you view that as a place I have to go? Or did you view it as a place that I want to go? So here's what I want not only you to answer this morning, but I want us to think about it in regard to our community. When if we put this picture just like we did to a community, what would people think when they saw that? Would they look at that as a place that they want to be? Or would they look at that as a place they have to visit or a place that they have to go? And maybe only during, Christmas and Easter, or maybe even during a funeral or a wedding or what have you. What does that conjure up in the hearts and minds? So again, I didn't want you to say anything out loud, but think about it. You know, do we think about church in the same way that we think about going to the DMV? Do we think about church in the same way that we think about going and sitting in the doctor's office or the grocery store? You know, is this just a place where we feel that we have to go or that we have to be because mama makes me go, or that's what mom and daddy said we needed to do, or it's a good place of connection? Why is it that we do that? Now think about it. You know, I want you to think about people who aren't with us today for whatever reason. I want you to think about people that you know, because all of us know those people before that said, well, you know, there were folks that were once part of who we were. There were people that were once, you know, part of our body, and I want you to think about them today. You know, some have stepped out of church for whatever reason, and I'd be willing to guess that some of them would describe, you know, coming to church like they would describe going to the DMV. Wouldn't you think so? Here's the problem. Yet based on their experiences that they've had, they might be right. Ouch. That kind of hurts, doesn't it? Yeah, based on some of the experiences, that may be exactly how they feel. See, but let me ask you this question. Is this what God intended when He created the church? Was this idea about community with people? Was it his idea? Was this exactly what he had planned? See, I believe that the Bible answers that question with an emphatic no. This is not what God intended for his church to be. See, I believe that the Bible shows us that, and that it's not God's plan for the church that it be an attitude like attending the DMV or attending Walmart when it's full or sitting along the way in a doctor's office. So you know what? When we think about this and we think about community, we have to think about the culture of our church. I believe that if we're going to go to the next level of what God has in store for us, then the culture of who we are as a church needs to change, and it needs to be more about what God would have church to be. What God would have for it to be like. It's about Him, and it's not about us. You know, we've got some great things that are coming on the horizon for our church that create community as God has planned it and as God has anticipated and shown us in His Word. Times and opportunities to be able to come together, and times to be able to fellowship, and times to love one another. But here's the thing. We must take advantage of those opportunities that are placed before us. Man, what great times God has on the horizon for Central Baptist Church and His people when we become what it is God wants us to become. When you sit back and you think on Sunday, when this morning was rolling around, which one of those pictures was conjured up in your mind? And when you saw that, did you sit back and go, just something else in my schedule? Listen, if you do, I want to challenge you. Stay with us over the next couple of weeks, because we're going to look at what God meant His church to be like. And what we need to model, not only with each other, but what we need to model to a community. See, I believe God wants us to love the church. Not love like you see in the news, not love like you've heard from some of those folks who have been disgruntled and left, and not love as in, you know, people sit back and say, if that's what Christian people are, that's not what I want to be. You know, again, you know, people have seen different things, but we need to love in the church as God intended it to be. And that's what we're going to talk about over the next couple of weeks. Now, before we jump into that, let's look over at John chapter 13, particularly verses 34 and 35. John chapter 13, beginning with verse 34, says this: "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." I think that's pretty clear, isn't it? How many times did he say, love one another, in two verses? Let's pray together. Father, you're good to us. We ask that you would speak to our hearts today. Lord, that you would move us in a direction that as we look at coming together with your people and coming together to worship you, that Father, we would do it out of a true sense of love, that we would fall in love with your church. And I don't mean the building, the bricks and the mortar, but that we would fall in love with our brothers and sisters in Christ as we love you and as we show forth your love in the hearts and lives of those that not only are in our community called Central Baptist Church and Oak Ridge, North Carolina, but Father, those that will watch us from afar. Lord, I pray that they will see love and that they will want that in their lives. Lord, use this messenger for these moments, Lord, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. See, according to these scriptures, church people are supposed to love one another. It's not optional. It's not an elective. You know what electives are? If you've ever been to school, you have a core curriculum. Here are the things that you have to take to get your degree. But then you're required to have some electives over here. Some things that are not necessarily part of your degree, but they're nice to have, or you're kind of required to have them to have enough credits to graduate. Listen, to love one another is not elective. It is mandatory. That is what Jesus told us. That is what he taught us. But what does that mean? What does it mean to love one another? When we say that we want to love the church as God intended us to love it, what do we really mean when we sit back and we say that? You know, I sit back and I think about the fact that, I had that picture of that restaurant up there because I like to try some new places. You know, and I mean, not too long ago, Jana and I tried, you know, a new place, and you know, we went in there and you know, tried it, and the food was good, the service was good, everything about it was good. And you know, when you leave, you're sitting back going, you know, I had a really good experience. I was given an opportunity to participate along the way. They met my need. They brought me food. They served me. They were kind to me. You know, the price was reasonable. Everything about it was right. And when I left that place, I said, you know what? I think we've got us a new place to frequent, or a new favored place. How many of y'all have ever said that before? Oh, this is going to be one of my new favored places. Yeah, and then what happens is they want you to go on, and they want you to rank them or rate them or what's the word I'm looking for? Review. Thank you. There we go. You can tell how much I'm into it. Oh, could you give us a good review? See, what happens is I can tell everybody about how good that was, and I can encourage other people to come to it. But the same is true in the opposite fashion, isn't it? I could also go and say, that was the worst service I ever had in my life. That was the most pitiful food that I ever, and you know what, when somebody comes up and says, hey, could you go have you ever been to the Podunk Holler Diner? I'm saying that because I don't know that we have a Podunk Holler Diner around here, and I don't want to get defamation lawsuits. Yeah. Have you ever eaten at the Podunk Diner? Oh yeah, that was the worst meal I ever had in my life. You better not go there. That's the biggest waste of money. The service was terrible. The food wasn't good. And you know what? Here's what happens. Oftentimes, we will take the advice of others, won't we? Well, Joe Bob went there, and he said that it wasn't that good. Yeah, maybe they had a bad day. Whatever. See, folks, do you understand what's going on? See, I loved a restaurant. This particular one that I'm talking about, I loved that restaurant. So I am willing to tell people what that's like. Now, let me give you another illustration and bring these two together. I also happen to love my son. One of the really cool things that we did was, it was last Christmas, we had an opportunity. There was something that Blake wanted that I actually found. I mean, it was impossible to find, and I just happened to stumble upon it. It was 2 months before Christmas. I got it, basically hid it back, and then had a really kind of fun way. You know, I tied it into a TV show or a movie that was on TV. And we were just kind of almost enacting the end of this movie out, except at the end of it was the prize that he was looking for. We had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun setting that thing up. You know, I got him a rifle, and you know, we had a scope put on it. We've gone out and shoot it. You know, gone out to shoot it, and yeah, you know, and asked him, said, "Well, yeah, son, did you have a good Christmas?" "Yeah, I had a really good Christmas, Dad. I love you." I said, "I love you too." You know what? He is my son, and I enjoy going out and doing life with him. And in the process of that, you know, doing life, there are some unpleasant experiences that we have to trudge through along the way, isn't it? Yeah, sometimes there's discipline, sometimes there's correction, sometimes there's disagreements and differences of opinion. But what we do is we work through those. Why do we work through them? Because I love him, and he's my son. Because I love him. Listen, because we had a bad day, I don't go to Yelp and review him and say, "Oh, this is the worst kid that there ever was." Are you understanding the parallel? Sometimes that's what we do to the church. We rate it off of some kind of experiences. And let me get this, because I'm running out of time, and I'm running out of time fast, but here's what we need to understand. We're not supposed to love the church like we love a restaurant. We're supposed to love the church in the same manner that we love our children. Because it's not based on what it is that can be brought to me. It's not based on serving me. What it's based on is the love for Jesus Christ. So it's a relationship. How is the relationship? It's not based on what can you do for me, because here's what happens. Is that not often what we find ourselves doing? "Well, I don't like that church because of this, that, or the other thing. I don't like it because of it's not serving me." Folks, listen, truth be known, what happens is that's not an attitude of love to Jesus. That's an attitude of selfishness. Because then what happens is it's all about me, not all about the love for the Master. So I'm going to encourage you to love Jesus, to love the church. You know what I like to say? I like to say it like this. I love my church. I love my church for all the right reasons. I love it because this is a community. This is family. You all are, and we use that term, but do we really mean it? Brothers and sisters? Mike's my brother, and I love him. I might irritate Mike to death, but he has to love me because I'm family. We work through that, don't we? We work through the circumstances. We work through the situations. And it was Jesus himself, as a prelude to the church. This is John. The church didn't come along until Acts. But in the book of John, this is what he's saying. He is describing to his disciples what the church ought to look like that comes along in Acts. And it says this. It says, they will know that you are Christians. They will know that you are believers by your for one another. Are we loving each other and our church? Please understand me. When I say the church, I'm not talking about the bricks and the mortar and the buildings and you know all that. I'm talking about the body of Christ. Do we love our church in the same fashion that we love a restaurant? Or do we love our church in the same fashion in which we love our children? Church people are meant to love one another because God mandated it that way. So what do we mean when we say I love the church? What does it mean to love one another? Does he want us to love each other in the experiences like we have where it's about serving me? Well, I didn't like that because they did this or they did that. You know, no. We're supposed to love each other because that's what God mandated for us. You know. And my love for my son, as I experience that, see, my son is someone that I'm connected to. My love for him isn't based on what I'm receiving or experiencing, but it's based on who he is and the involvement in the relationship. Folks, I want to encourage you and challenge you to get involved in your church. Get involved. Don't just come and sit. Don't just be a spectator. Just don't be a critic. Don't be them two old guys in the Muppet Show up in the balcony. Get involved. Get yourself connected because when you become connected, it shows ownership, doesn't it? Let me tell you something that contrary to what the new church movement says, church membership's important. It's important to be a part. It is important to be tied in. It is important to be connected with each other. We're living in a day and an age where people will sit in the same room and text one another sitting 3 feet away from each other. Did you ever think you would live to see that day? Me either. We have become the most antisocial. By the way, that happens in families too. I have watched a family sit in a room and text one another. Going, well, here's an idea. Use your voice. Speak with one another. Talk to each other. Get to know one another on a more intimate level. And folks, let me tell you something. We have opportunities in Central Baptist Church for you to do that. Let me encourage you. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Get to be a part of a Sunday school class. Get to be a part of a small group. Get to be a part where you can come to know each other on a more intimate level and a more intimate basis. We're looking to start some discipleship groups on Sunday morning. We're already talking about that. We're looking to have places where you can plug in and where you can begin to love each other in the manner in which Christ showed us. Where not only can you love somebody, but here's the really cool part. They can love you back. That when you have to walk the tough trail, they're going to walk it with you. We're not meant to be lone rangers. We're meant to be a part of the body of Christ. The church was never meant to be like a restaurant. The church was meant to be based on relationships. In fact, God loved us so much that He shows just a few chapters earlier in the book of John that He loved us so much that He sent His only Son to give up His life on a cross, to take it back up that you and I might have eternal life. That's how much He loves us. And He says, I want you to show that kind of love to the world. You ever, I'm obviously not going to ask anybody to expand on this, but you have probably been there before where it was either you or you maybe had children that had an argument and didn't get along, and nothing was worse than your two children not being able to get along. That broke your heart, tore you up. They're not talking to one another, they're mad at each other, and you wanted to do anything to heal that relationship. Let me ask you, how do you think Jesus feels about God's people being at odds with each other? Do you think it breaks His heart? Do you think He wants harmony in the family? Because see, when there's harmony in the family and there's harmony in the body, then the church will be unstoppable. When we love, that doesn't mean we always agree with each other, does it? But see, this is a lost concept in today's society. We can disagree with each other and still love each other. Do you know that? We can. We can still disagree with each other and go forward. But the church was never meant to be like a restaurant. The church was meant to be love based on relationship. And being in a relationship, we're not brought into the relationship with Jesus, but also into a relationship with one another. When I accepted Christ and you're a believer, you have become my brother or my sister. And see, a lot of times people treat the church just like it was a restaurant. If the experience wasn't just to their liking, then they'll find somewhere else to go, or they won't go at all. And this is beyond unfortunate. Because you think about how much is being messed out on. See, this sets up expectations for the church that the church was never intended to fulfill. Do you realize that? It certainly does. Also, we have to be honest. When it comes down to that, and when it comes down to a situation like that, that is plain, outright selfishness. That's, what about me? What are you doing for me? Rather than the Lord saying, hey, you're part of the family. You know, how many of y'all were part of a big family? Did you always get everything you wanted? In fact, some of y'all are probably sitting back going, no, my older brother always did. Or my older sister always did. Or whatever. You didn't get the room to sleep in that you wanted. You didn't get the place at the table you wanted. There was a lot of things that you didn't get because there was more to the family, right? You might not have even got the last chicken leg. You might have had to settle for a thigh. Ugh. But you know what? You still love your family, don't you? Mom and Dad did the best they could with what they had. They taught you a whole lot of lessons, and life was a whole lot better back then, wasn't it? Did I say that out loud? I think I did. We can't keep treating church like it's a restaurant. Like there's a menu. See, Jesus wants us to show forth love not only towards one another, but to those that are outside. Let me give you kind of a little preview of just what the next couple of weeks are going to look like. Because we have to ask that question, what does it look like to intentionally love the church? Because that's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to love the church on purpose. So what does that look like? To be in community with one another as God intended for it to be in His Word. And I'm just going to give you a couple of things. This is like a preview of the next couple of weeks. We need to love by connecting. We have got to get in contact with one another. We got to stop texting each other in the same room. We got to start communicating and talking and serving and working and loving with each other. We got to do that. We also can love by serving. That's something else that we're going to talk about. God has gifted this church in ways beyond anything that I can even express. And we got to start using those gifts. We got to start serving Him. Another thing we can do is that we can love by giving. And I know what y'all said, oh yeah, we're going to talk about giving, but probably not in the same way that you might expect it. In fact, you know, we probably won't even talk about tithing, and we probably won't talk about percentages, and we won't even try any sort of ill-planned guilt trip
to get you to give more, but we're going to simply talk about giving as an indicator of love. You know, if you have a sweetie, do you give her gifts? If not, I need to sign you up for some counseling. Why do you give gifts? As an expression of love, right? What are you giving to the Lord? So we're going to talk about love by giving. We're going to talk about love by sharing. Sharing with one another. Sharing with the community. Sharing with the people that we come in contact with, to be intentional as we love the church. Because I guarantee you that if we do that, then you're going to see our church grow spiritually. You're going to see it grow numerically. You're going to see it grow in all kinds of ways. So here's my challenge, because I'm out of time for today. But my challenge for you over the next couple of weeks, and hopefully through all eternity, is number one, but this is just in the quick early going for the next couple of weeks. I want you to let people know that you love your church. You sit back and go, well, why? What's that all about? Have you ever noticed that we wear ball caps that have our favorite teams on them, and we wear shirts and jerseys that have that on it? And have you ever noticed that you will walk up and pick up a complete stranger and have a conversation with them because they're wearing a logoed shirt of your favorite team? Won't you? It's a conversation starter. Listen, I run into people with a West Virginia hat all the time. Hey, man, you a West Virginia fan? Don't know if I'm Adam's house cat. But boy, we'll talk about Mountaineer football. We'll talk about UNC football. And why? Because I saw a logo on a cap or a jacket. Now, it's a little embarrassing when they sit back and go, no, man, I just got this at a yard sale. Yeah. That happens occasionally, but you know what? Most of the time, 99% of the time, it's a great conversation starter. Listen, if you let people know that you love your church and you love your Lord, it's going to be a conversation starter. I promise. And the second thing I want to ask you to do is I want to ask you to begin immediately to get connected. Connected how? Sunday school, small group. Discipleship. Well, we're going to have some discipleship groups. We're going to start on Sunday morning in the very near future. If you're interested, I want you to let me know. Listen, the ball's in your court. I don't want you to be a spectator. I don't want you to just walk in and sit here on Sunday and go away and come back Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, because that's not what God intended for us to do. It is time for us to be the strongest family of God that has ever been. The culture of our church needs to change to this. We love each other as He loves us, and we show others His love as we go forward. This is going to be a pretty exciting journey, and I'm excited that we're going to get to go through it together. You know what? If you're here and you've never trusted the Lord, I'm praying that you'll do that, and I want you to hang around for the next couple of weeks. Now, listen, I want you to trust Him today. If you know that that's something He's put on your heart, I want you to trust Him today. But for the rest of us, I'm sitting there saying, yeah, some of you have had some bad experiences. Don't rate it like a restaurant. Let's work through those. You know, and for those that have had a bad experience, I am truly sorry. It may not have been an experience here. It may have been an experience somewhere else. You just had a bad experience with church, period. I apologize to you for that. That's not what God intended. But God intended for us, with all the love in the world, to show that love towards one another in the body of Christ as well as outside of the body of Christ, that others might know we are Christians by our love. Notice that scripture one more time. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Do we have love for one another? Are we expressing it? Are we showing it? How are we doing that? Hang with me over the next couple of weeks. I'm going to ask our musicians to take their places. Again, I beg you, if you haven't trusted Christ today to be a part of the family of God, you need to do that. Listen, you're not part of the family. We want you to be part of the family. We want a big family. And if you are here and you are part of the family, listen, I pray that you are not bitter because you've had to share things with your brothers and sisters.
I pray that you haven't gotten upset because you've been a part of a family. And I know that sometimes it doesn't look like love and sometimes we scrap with one another. But I want to encourage you today to understand that we are family. And God wants us to love each other and express that love so that when other people see it, they'll say, I want what they have. Listen, there was a boy that grew up as a good friend of mine that loved my family so much that he wanted to be a part of my family. Matter of fact, he was like a part of my family. He ate there. He slept there. He was there when he shouldn't have been there. You know what? He and I are still buds to this day. And we can still scrap with the best of them. But you know the old thing, you know. Fellow was whipping up on a little boy and the guy saw it. And he went there and he went to break the fight up. And then all of a sudden the one that was getting beat on started beating on this guy. And he said, well, man, I was just trying to help you out. And he said, yeah, but that's my brother. Is that the way the world looks at us and sees us? Maybe there are some things we need to get straightened out. Let's stop the restaurant movement and let's start with the Jesus movement and change the culture of our church to be one that is love, that people are drawn to. Stay with me. We're going to talk about that for the next couple of weeks. What is it you need to do today? What decisions do you need to make today to consecrate yourself towards Him or to accept Him? Now is that time as we stand, as we sing.